Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Matot Masei. Two parashat this week. Usually, every year, there are a couple of weekly portions that are connected. This year, because we had a double month of Adar, we only have this one. The truth is, this is a very special parasha, or two parashot. Because in reality, this is the end of the Torah. You know, there's another book. We're only finishing the book of Numbers. But in the content of this week's parasha, we really are ending and summarizing everything we went through in the Torah. In a sense, next book will be a big lecture, a big speech by Moses. It's going to start with, these are the things that Moses said before he died. And it's going to be a summary, there's going to be insight, and it's going to be the story told by Moses once over. So in a sense, this week ends the story until now. What are the issues that we're going to read about in this week portion? We will start with the importance of vows. If somebody says a vow, if somebody swear, you need to commit to what you swear. There are some ways to disattach of what you said. And some situations that what you said can be canceled, but generally saying, what you said needs to happen. What's the situation? A person comes from an emotional perspective. Usually the vows, the swearing comes from, there's a scary moment, there's a frightening moment, and you're saying, if God will help me at this time, I will do this or that. Or from an excitement of something happens, like, wow, I just won, something amazing happened. From now on, I will do this or the other. This is a commitment a person says, comes from himself. Nobody asks for it. And whatever came from you in those moments need to be an act you will follow. That's the first insight of the summary of the books. Whatever you commit to, you need to follow. Throughout the journey in the desert, we saw so many people that said things that weren't appropriate. From the spies, Bilam, to Korach, and even Miriam. Words count. Now you're entering the land, Hashem says. The land is a time of actual living. And we know that in the real world, words count. Stick to what you say. Stick to your commitments. Stick to what you believe in. Forward in the parasha, we're going to hear about interactions with the 2.5 tribes. Actually, two tribes. The tribe of Reuven and Gad comes to Moses and asks him to stay in the other side of the Jordan. This is a question that always strikes me. How can you, people that went through all the journey in the desert and left Egypt and you were redeemed, where the promise was the Holy Land, how can you stay aside? We'll get back to it in a second. We'll continue and say what happens in the parashot. We will read about the war of Midian, where there's going to be a war, and they're going to have a lot of things they're going to bring from the war, and the command is to split and give half to the people who actually fought and to the people who stayed in the base and help and whatever. They also need to receive a half, although they didn't fight. But still, there is a unity here, there's a connection. On the second parasha, we will read about the different stations, the different steps in the journey. You went here and you went there, understanding that every step of the road meant something, contributed something. And we will end the parasha with yet a reminder of the daughter of Sofrad, a man, and we talked about it last week, who died without boys, and the girls come again and ask for a place in the ground. I think the connection between all those components is clear. But I want to jump into the story of the two tribes. What happens there? What made you think that you will stay on the other side? And more than that, we know it's 2.5 tribes. It's Reuven, Gad, and the half of the tribe of Menashe. If you will notice on the verses, in the beginning, only Reuven and Gad comes and asks. And then Moses just puts the half of tribe of Menashe there. What is the deep story? So of course we know on a very simple level that these tribes were blessed. They had a lot of animals and they saw an area which is green and there's a place to shepherd and they asked to stay there. The question goes back to what Moses asked them, blames them. You want your brothers to fight for you in a war in the land of Israel and you will stay here and dwell? No responsibility to the mass, no responsibility to the nation. It's a question that being asked today in Israel as well, when part of Israel is not fighting. And this criticism gives the two tribes the very simple answer. What are you talking about? Of course we will fight. Not only we will fight, we will be there first in line to fight. And they actually doing it in the book of Joshua. In chapter 22 of Joshua, you will see a war. And the first people who are being called are the 2.5 tribes. And they will come and they will fight and they will go home last. The Midrash tells us an amazing story that after the war that took a long time, 14 years, everybody walked them through to the Jordan River, saying goodbyes. But then Joshua had to get back to his home. So the people, the 2.5 tribes, saw their wives, their family, after 14 years around the corner on the mountains, and they went and they walked him into his home and only then went back home. You see, the commitment of the 2.5 tribes is a commitment of partnership. It's a partnership just like the people who are fighting or staying in the base. Yes, the criticism is big because we don't understand why would you give up the promised land for better economy life. But the criticism comes with a hint of what's on your heart. If you see yourself a real partner, if you're willing to fight, if you are really going to be part of our mission here, we see you as equal. You are missing, though, a big deal not living in Israel. So where this half a tribe came from, the half of the tribe of Menashe wasn't there in the initial request. I saw amazing commentary that says as follows: Moses volunteered the tribe of Menasseh to enter and stay there. The story was that Moshe in his vision saw what will happen. It's a concern when people live outside of Israel, outside of holiness, they can get drafted away. Assimilation is being called today. And he saw the 2.5 tribes and he understood that there are going to be challenges living there far away from the mainland. So we asked the tribe of the righteous people of Menashe. These is a tribe that learned and they were the rabbis of the communities and they were the holy and spiritual people. And they asked volunteers, do me a favor, Moses says. Go and stay here with the other side, half of the tribe. It will do two things. Number one, you can teach them and connect them to the land. And the second thing is, when you will have a half a tribe in Israel, you're going to have intermarriage between the other side of the Jordan and the land of Israel. The culture will connect. We will never lose those 2.5 tribes in the other side of the Jordan. If you remember in the book of Joshua, it actually is a big concern because on the way back, they build this tombstone representing the friendship, and the people of Israel and Joshua thinks this is not a friendship tombstone. This is something that's connected to Avodah Zarah, to worshiping other gods. So the spiritual concern is a big concern that we have here, but there's something else. In the verses, it very clearly says, we will build fences to our animals and then houses to our children. They put the money first. When somebody decides from any other direction, when he puts the economy, his livelihood, his well-being before other things that are living in the Holy Land, connecting to the big community, when you decide in life things that are about you and your better well-being, we are concerned that your priorities are wrong, and those priorities may cost that your kids and your grandchildren will be outcasted in the end. So it is a very important thing to read the other side of the parasha. And the other side of the parasha that we talked about was Tzlofchad. Tzlofchad comes from Shevet Menashe. And this is exactly the point. You will see a family here that grew up on the right and natural way. They are connected to the land. They are fighting for the land. And they want their children, their daughters, to be part of the land as well. The concerns of being disattached because your priorities are wrong will be or needs to be qualified differently when you see the next generations connected and bound into it. If you men noticed, sometimes the perspective is positive and sometimes the perspective is negative about this request. So the biggest positive request comes from another words of our sages that says as follow. You know what deep down happened there to the two tribes? They wanted to stay next to Moses. The answer comes from a very interesting realization that one would ask himself, why those two tribes were blessed more than others? Why are they saying they have so many animals? Where are all the others? The answer is this. They were connected to Moses. They were very, very, very well connected to him. And they were blessed by the blessing of Moses that was represented by the manna. They loved the manna, they loved Moses. Because of that, they didn't have to slaughter their own animals. You see? Because they didn't have to slaughter their animals, they were blessed with many, many animals. So they come to Moses and ask him to stay. But deep down, the reason is they knew he will be buried in that area. Because you're buried outside of Israel, we want to stay next to you. And the verses are implying this in many different places, that Moses understand that. But they don't want to be this people who brag and tell all the others, oh, we want to stay next to our leader, next to Moses. So they ask this mundane reason, oh, we want to, you know, have some financial positivity in the area. But really what guided them was actually a spiritual journey. In the end of the book of Numbers, we meet and encounter the last minutes and the last steps before entering the land. There will be many challenges. Make very, very important notes. Number one, think of what you say. Connect to the greatness of the community. Educate your kids that they will follow. And remember that all being embraced by God and everything has its place, has its spot, for better and for worse. Shabbat Shalom.